You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Mark teaches about the relationship between living a righteous life and our prayer lives. There are people who are banking on your prayers, but it's only the prayers of the righteous that avail much.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18.
Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints.
Amen. Amen. Just give us a heads up at the church. One thing we are working on is we actually have eventually sound panels coming. So you'll see how sound will be each and every week. Praise the Lord. Amen. The sound guy in the back. So thank you for that. But hey, one more quick thing, keep the scripture up there, is a correction from last week. I had accidentally said the breastplate of truth. And y'all amen. it's the belt of truth. But it's breastplate of righteousness. I came up to you and said, did you realize you had said breastplate of truth? I said, well, it's the people's fault. They said amen. But no. But we were talking about learning how to fight is going to be one of our goals for 2018. And this just reminds us that we don't war against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle. And we got to learn how to do spiritual warfare. And so one of the things that we talk about is, the last thing in there says, is prayer. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be alert with all perseverance, petitions for all the saints. And so, one of the things we want to do, one of our goals is that we're going to learn how to pray, which means that we not learn how to pray, but learn how to be comfortable with your uncomfortable prayer life. My prayer life is very uncomfortable. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I don't feel like I can breathe. But it's not about how you feel. It's like, I know I'm praying, but it's like, man, I wish, sometimes I'm like, geez, what is this supposed to look like? Because I've been so messed up by watching so many people pray and reading so many books about this is how you pray and this is how you get a prayer through. And I don't know, I'd rather nobody know. And so I just got comfortable with that fact that I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it. And then God gets all glory. So we want to talk today about the prayer of the righteous. Prayer of the righteous. And so we'll start with Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 26.
Oops, sorry.
Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 26. On the screen.
On the next day, when they had company, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a robber's den?" The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, For they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they would go out of the city. And they, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions."
Amen. Let's walk through this. We're going to do it piece by piece. I'm going to start with just the first portion, like verse 12 through 14. And if we just look at this, it is as Jesus was hungry. Remember, Jesus was fully man and fully God, so he felt hunger. And it says, seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he walked up to it. And when he saw it, went up to it. Now keep in mind, this was not the season for fig trees to be in bloom, but this one had the appearance that it had fruit. And Jesus walked up to it. And when he didn't find any fruit, man, from the outside, just reading it, like, man, Jesus seemed a little harsh. He just said, he cursed the tree and said, "May no one ever get fruit from you again." Jesus seemed to have an issue with things that appear to be or are supposed to be fruitful. Ever notice that? Like, he seemed to have an issue with things that are supposed to be fruitful, but they're not fruitful. He had an issue with that. And so think about the consistency of Scripture. It says every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Right? That's also known as curse. I don't think there's too many worse curses than chopped down and thrown in the fire. It says also, see, this thing about Jesus' consistency with this tree, it looked like it had fruit, but it didn't. Jesus hates deception. Jesus hates hypocrisy. So remember this for all of us in the room. Be who you're supposed to be. Yeah. Be who you're supposed to be. I got that little quote there from back in the day when I was back in my rap days. And we used to say this in Baltimore, and it was a common thing, ain't no future, ain't your front.
I like it.
And what that means is you can spend all your time trying to be somebody you're not. And there's no future in that. A lot of people are spending time trying to act like they're a Christian, but they're not. They say I'm all about God, but they're not. And we spend all this time working hard trying to fool people, but the goal is never to fool people. The goal is to be ready for the inspection of the Lord. Because when the Lord inspects, he gets up close and personal. Man, the average person might have just called it a fig tree. Like, man, nice fig tree over there. Right. Jesus gets up to close and personal and is like, this fig tree is faking. Mm-hmm. And therefore, because it's deceiving people, drawing people in, I'm going to curse this tree so no one ever will get fooled by this tree again. Wow. Understand something. When Jesus comes to inspect us, we will either bless him or he will curse us. Consistency of Scripture, the talents, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And they had something for him.
Right.
We will either be fruitful and have the fruit that he wants, or he will curse us. Keep going a little bit further. We see this as Jesus goes into the temple. And as he goes into the temple, he begins to see the church is not being what it's supposed to be. Money changers. You know what money changers are? The money changers, what they were doing is the people would come from all over to worship. And when they would come from all over to worship, we never speak of that. They would come from all over to worship, and then they would begin to say, well, okay, you can't worship unless you have the particular animals that we have.
Wow.
So then they would make them trade off money in order to get the pay for worship.
Wow.
So they would have to buy these certain type of animals, and these were specific animals just for the worship. And so these money changers in here, they manipulate the people saying, you can't worship unless you have our particular animals. And then they would charge them for that. So Jesus saw that and all kind of business taking place. And here's the crazy thing. If you read before, it says Jesus hung read before. Jesus had went to the temple the day before. And he saw this the day before. And he didn't address it until the next day. So a quick message for us is don't confuse patience with approval. Don't confuse patience with approval. Just because the lightning bolt didn't come crashing through your window, it doesn't mean everything's all right. When you are not doing what's right and getting what you consider positive feedback, that does not mean God approves. It just means he doesn't want anybody to be lost. It means he's patient. He don't want to kill you. So he's being patient. Understand and giving everyone an opportunity to repent. Now be forewarned about this now. Sin is not patient. Sin is taking something from you always. And if it doesn't kill you naturally, it will leave consequences in your life that will be long-lasting. So don't think because it's patience or nothing's happening that God is okay with that. So he's turning over these tables the next day. Now come on, now get in the story. Jesus is coming in and he's turning over tables. And I know we think Jesus is like just this nice guy. But he's not like, hey, excuse me, you gotta come have that table. Hey, come on guys. Guys, come on. Like, that's not who he is. He made a whip. He was using it. Come on now. And he is throwing people out. He's overturning the tables. And he's saying, you have turned my father's house, which is supposed to be a house of prayer, you have made it a den of thieves. He's quoting a scripture from the book of Jeremiah. When in the story of Jeremiah, they were all idolatrous people. And they were living this life contrary to God outside the temple. And then they would come to the temple and worship and say, we're delivered to worship God like this. And he said, you have made my house a den of thieves. How does the church become a den of thieves? Mm-hmm. Well, remove the fear of the Lord. Right? Yeah. Remove the fear of the Lord. Then, don't preach the word of God. So when you preach something to make everybody feel good, preachers tell people a lot of people, and then they don't open it. So don't preach the word of God. And then I don't mean that be speaker friendly, which is people sensitive. Sometimes we're more people sensitive than God sensitive. You can get so caught up on trying to reach people that you're not even being God. You think you're trying to reach people for God, but you don't even know what God's like. You become people sensitive. Oh, well, the people didn't like that. I can't say that. That might turn them off. No, if God says say it, then you don't matter. It doesn't matter if it turns them off or not. You do. You be God sensitive, not people sensitive. And then after you see, when you do all this, you move the fear of the Lord, you don't read the word of God, and you become people friendly, then all you got to do is invite them to leave the church. That's okay. It's not even going to be. But now you're so sensitive, you invite Eve to church, and they're comfortable. They love it. They're like, man, I don't even feel bad about being a thief.
My God.
I love what God accepts me as I am. Then I'm going to keep on stealing.
Wow.
That's a myth, y'all. God does not accept you as you are. Matter of fact, he found you unacceptable. That's why he sent Jesus Christ and said, be like him. He loves you, but he don't accept you. accept you as you are. You got to change and be like Christ. And then he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. If he accepts you as you are, if Allison shows up before Jesus, she's dead. He don't want to see Allison. He don't want to see Jesus. Her righteousness is filthy rags.
Right.
When he told him, when he wants to see Jesus, but you get there and oh, it's just, I like the music, the music's great. Man, nowadays it's so cool that even the preacher says, I'm a thief too. That's so cool. He's a thief like me. And guess what? You go out and Mike Morgan thieving buddies, and now you got a church that's full of thieves. And you become a den of thieves. And sooner or later, the thieves ain't driven long enough, they become ushers, deacons. Let them stay long enough, they become pastors. And now you got a den of thieves. Never invited to Jesus, but invited to church. Y'all, our mission is not to invite people to church. Our mission is to invite people to Jesus. And if they want Jesus, they'll follow you to church.
Amen.
But that's how it happens. And it's, oh man, many churches today are den of thieves. No conviction. No change. No conviction. If you're in a place and there's no conviction and the people aren't changing, I guarantee the word of God is not really being preached. Even when people say it's the word, I guarantee it's not the word. If the word of God is really being preached, people will either change or leave. You either change or leave. Okay, there's some people I only expect to see one time. They come in here, they hear the word, and they don't take all that. I'm going somewhere else. You're right at that place where they say, this is my Bible. Home. I may only go run into you when they come to their senses. I want Jesus. They say, that stuff you thought my father was nonsense before, I mean. So, man, remember that. Never make sure that we're going to be a place that always preaches the word that needs to be changed, though. So now, think this in mind. Now, Jesus is done preaching there. He's already upset with them because they weren't there supposed to be. And then he starts walking, and they now see the tree that he cursed earlier. Because so then, what do we know from that? It must not have withered on the spot. Sometimes the blessing is a little delayed. Sometimes big Jesus, you never have it on the spot. Because he clearly told that tree to die. It didn't die in front of them. They didn't see the results of it until the next day. And look at the disciples, they're amazed. Teacher, look at that tree you cursed. And he said, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken and cast into the sea, and does not doubt his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted. Look what he says, though. He then links this statement to prayer and gives us insight on how to tap into this power that he has. In verse 25, verse 25, he said, whenever you stand praying, now look, they still got to the tree, and he now links it to verse 25, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven also forgive your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who was in heaven forgive your transgressions. So first he's talking about if you believe and don't doubt, but then he talks about prayer, and he says, look, when you stand praying, make sure your heart is clean before God.
Yes.
He said, when you stand praying, make sure your heart is clean before God. And the message he's given us is sin hinders prayer.
Yes.
Sin hinders prayer. Now look, I know plenty of people who pray but don't love Jesus. Right? Let me ask you this question. They think you're okay because they think you're going to answer to the prayers. Can the devil answer prayers? forgive you. So if you didn't have it again, it's not real temptation. All this I will give you if you just worship me. Sometimes the enemy will bless you to encourage you in the wrong direction. And a lot of times the thing he bless you with, you know where they go. Come on. That dude he blessed you with, and y'all can't keep your hands off each other, you really think that was from God? I prayed for a man, and he sent me a man. And yeah, we struggle all the time. That ain't from God. You just worship men. You worship relationships. So you're just so happy that you're in one. And oh, I know we struggle back and forth, but this is the person God sent me, you know. The God of this world, the rule of this age may have sent him. Because God is not going to send you a sinful relationship. He's not going to send you something that's going to draw you further away. Come on, you really think that debt is from God? Oh, and God blessed you with this car. How much are you paying on it? Just $500 a month. That's from God. Well, we'll give her more, but we know that ain't from God. And you find out 3 years later, you're gone. See, a lot of times we pray and we get things and we think it's from God, but look at the fruit. Wisdom is through regular action. Is it drawing me further away from God? It's not from Him. God does not give you something to draw you further away. You just want it so bad that one time He said in the scripture, and He said, I just began to give answer people's prayers according to the idols in their hearts. That's what God said. The people were so committed to sin, I began to answer their prayers according to the idols in their hearts. Because they were already far away from me anyway, and He said, have it your way. So don't confuse just because you get some answers. You better make sure those answers are from God. Yeah. Do they line up with Scripture? Is it making me closer? Let's go to James. Chapter 5, verse 13 through 16.
Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
The effective prayers of a righteous man. The effective prayers of a righteous man avails much. Read the rest of that. It talks about Elijah. You think if Elijah was living a sinful life, he could tell it not to rain and it wouldn't rain? The effective prayers of a righteous man. You know why that tree was cursed? Because Jesus prayed for that. Come on. Why do you think God answers Jesus' prayers? Because He's righteous. Not just because He's His Son, but because He's righteous. Because He does everything the Father tells Him to do. And that man, think about this. Life will teach you. When you really want somebody to pray for you, do you try to find the most sinful person you can find, or do you try to find the most righteous person you can find? Right? Come on. Y'all know when y'all go home for the holidays and they want somebody to pray for the meal, and they call you a Jesus freak all year. But now it's time to eat. Buddy, you don't pray for food so we can eat. Why? You don't want to get sick. And that happened one time by one of the guys who was used to discipling me. He was backsliding at the time, and I didn't really know it. And so we were about to eat one time. We had a circle going on us. Hey, you go ahead and break for food. He's like, you want to get sick? I was like, Lord, thank you for this. 6 and 18. It says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And there's many verses like that. If we are not in the right position with God, your prayers will hit the roof of your mind. He said, but no, but sometimes I've been messed up and I've seen God answer prayer. You think you were all on prayer? We so arrogant sometimes. But I prayed. Imagine 10 other righteous people to pray, or one righteous person to pray. And deep mind sometimes say he reigns from the just and the unjust alike. Sometimes it's mighty. But your life matters. The life you live matters. And you got to position yourself to be heard by God. One of the ways to position yourself to be heard by God is to make sure that my heart is clean before God. I'm not living live a prayer. Live a life of prayer. Live a righteous life. Live a holy life. I mean, this is what we're supposed to do. And it all matters. Think about this. The place that Jesus goes, and we think about sin, we start thinking about all sexual morality, all other stuff, but the place Jesus went there was unforgiveness. Wasn't it? He says, look, if you've been praying and you got unforgiveness, let's deal with that. But here comes the question we need to ask, how do I know if I really have forgiveness? Anybody ever had that question? You know, you might feel like you forgave, not sure. How do you know if you really have forgiven someone? Let's understand this about forgiveness. Just like love, forgiveness is an action more than a feeling. Just like love is an action. Hate is an action. All throughout Scripture, forgiveness is an action, not just a feeling. So, this does not mean that if somebody has hurt you and abused you and wronged you, I'm talking about intentionally wronged you, not in ignorance. This does not mean you need to call them up and say, I forgive you. Doesn't mean you gotta write a letter saying, I forgive you. Some of us don't even know how to forgive you. Because we'll write letters telling everybody all the wrong they did. Three paragraphs of all the wrong you did. And one sentence, but I forgive you. And sometimes we blindside people with it. They didn't even know he did anything wrong. And they get three paragraphs. I wasn't talking to you because of this. I wasn't talking because of that. You did this to you and that to me. You gotta get off going on. And now I'm glad you forgive me. Hope you, I forgive you. I forgive you. And now you're offended. And you didn't even know anything was wrong. But think about it. You don't have to do that. Forgiveness does not mean I have to hang out with people who hurt me and abuse me. You know, I remember my wife testimony, she was sexually abused by an uncle. She's not going to write her uncle and say, I forgive you. He hasn't repented. The Bible says if someone sins against you and repents, then you give them the verbal forgiveness. So forgiveness means you should be preparing your heart to give the blessing. But you don't give the blessing of the forgiveness if there's no repentance. So many times we think, I forgave them, they didn't even repent. So you probably haven't really expressed the forgiveness. The thing is to get your heart in such a position that God, I'm working this out with you, that if they repent, I will verbally give them the blessing of I forgive. But my heart's already ready. Now your heart's not right if it's like, no matter how much they say I'm sorry, I'm not forgiving them for what they've done. No matter how much they forgive, I'm not repenting, I'm not forgiving what they've done. Now there's an issue in the heart. Now you haven't forgiven. So positionally, you got to forget the position. I take it no further than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ positionally is ready to forgive everybody. But what's the condition? Repentance. So Jesus is not just walking up to everybody on the street saying, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Although he died and his position is ready to forgive everybody, but they have to do what? It's the same thing for us. We should be positionally ready to forgive anyone. But if they have not expressed repentance, you do not extend the I forgive. probably some people have forgiven positionally, but there's been no repentance on the other side. And therefore, you might feel like there might be still some tension. Yes! If you were abused or raped, what do you think? You have some tension being in the room if you're in the room the person raped you? Yes, there's tension. If somebody murdered a family member and were unrepentant and you were in the room the person murdered a family member, wouldn't there be some tension? You're not going to have me pour you a drink. But in your heart, you're like, Jesus, you're the cleansing work in my heart. Just like you forgive, I forgive the same way you forgive. When it says forgive one another the same way he forgives you, I forgive the same way you forgive. But he does not express that to anyone unless they repent. And so there's people I'm ready to express it to, but they have repented. So I have to keep my heart good and keep my heart clean with God. What's another sign I know I'm forgiven? I pray for that person. Pray for those who spitefully use you. If I can't pray for them, then there's an issue. Now there's a heart issue. Now they're taking up too much ground in your heart. No one should block your freedom.
Amen.
And you're free to pray for anybody and everybody. And if something's blocking your freedom, you got to deal with that. Now there's something that's up a stronghold in you that you got to deal with. And so you get all that stuff out of the way. But you don't have to track people down if they're not repenting. You understand that? Because I know we deal with that sometimes. And so, but you get in position because think what he said in that scripture. Once you're in position to forgive, you're now in position to have your prayers heard. Because being in unforgiveness and hard-hearted is only blocking your prayers. Because he calls that living in unforgiveness is sin. And sin in the spirit. We got that. So, position yourself to be heard. And understand this. There are a lot of people banking on your prayers. There are a lot of people banking on your prayers. And they're banking on you staying in position. And so make a decision today. And hey, he said the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. I don't want to be a person whose prayers are powerful and effective. When you get tempted by sin, say, nope, you ain't working for prayer life. You're not working for prayer life. I got family members banking on my prayers. I got people unsaved banking on my prayers. I don't have time for you. Said yes, you're real tempted, but you're not worth my prayer life. I got things I'm asking for. I need God to hear me. Anybody else? That's when we start with our prayer life. We don't start with techniques. We start by living a holy, righteous life. 24/7. There's no timeouts in this relationship with God. And you know if there's any sin in your life right now, only that thing you do in private that you won't let anybody see you in public, he says, give me that. Which is hindering our relationship. Do you understand this? The only prayer he wants to hear from somebody in sin is, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. He don't want to hear any requests you have. All he wants to hear is, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Stop asking for other stuff. It's like when I tell my son, clean his room. He didn't clean his room, and I come home, like, Dad, can you help me this? I'm like, we can't even go anywhere until you've done the thing I told you. Because now, when he does the thing I told him to do, we're in right relationship. And now, whatever he requires, whatever he asks for, is powerful and effective, and it's my great pleasure to take you to GameStop.
Church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle at TryOurChurch, or you could send us an email to info@tryourchurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.